The following message is brought to you by Cashin First Baptist Church and Pastor Greg Davis in Cashin, Oklahoma. For more information about Cashin FBC, please visit cashinfbc.org.
End of chapter 7. And this section is really, and I know some people will say, yes, if you read your Bible chronologically, you're going to find this. It's really a continuation of last week's message. Because in that section previous to this, he's talking about the day of judgment, the coming day of judgment. And then, if you notice in the New American Standard, it starts with the word therefore. So this parable that Jesus is about to tell is still about the coming day of judgment. It has an application to us, as all parables do. A parable is a spiritual story, or a story that then has a spiritual meaning behind it. And this particular parable, you may see a heading like this, the wise and the foolish builders, or the two foundations, but it's really a parable about building a home. And so I want us to look, starting in verse 24, and read through verse 27, and then we'll pray together and start into the message this morning. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their own scribes. Let's pray this morning. Father God, every word of the Bible is true, and yet many will still reject the truths of Scripture. So, Lord, we know because of that, it is a gift of your grace to believe not only in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but to also believe in his words, to believe in the words of Scripture, and to be able to obey them. And so, Lord, as we pray each and every week, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are quick to obey. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We give lots of labels to people regarding their spiritual state in life. Maybe sociologists do this, or religious pundits do this, but we have agnostics. You know what an agnostic is? There's someone who says, I don't know whether God exists or whether he does not exist, and so I just kind of stay here in this place of limbo. They're called agnostics. And then we have atheists who flat out reject the existence of God. We have fence riders. We have people who want to walk in the middle of the way. They don't want to be in the broad way that leads to destruction, nor do they want to be in the narrow way that leads to life. But they want to walk comfortably in the middle. Or someone who likes to camp out in the ethical area of what we would call the gray areas. These are labels that people have. Seekers. Seekers who are seeking after spiritual things are spiritualists. They're spiritualists, but they're not religious, they say. And now there's a new thing that's come out, according to Pew Research about 2 years ago, the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. I don't know if you've read anything about the nuns, but the nuns have no religious affiliation at all. That's called the nuns, and that's a growing group within even the churches now, the nuns. Well, the Bible takes all people, and it puts them into one of two categories. There's no agnostic and atheist and this. There's one of two states that you're in. You're either lost or you're saved. You either know Jesus or you don't know Jesus. Now, the Bible uses many ways to describe this, like at the end of Matthew's gospel, the sheep and the goats, or as the Sermon on the Mount calls it the people on the narrow road that leads to life or the broad road that leads to destruction. the good soil and the bad soil, the good tree and the bad tree. But all of these are under two categories, either lost or saved. And what determines what category you're in under one of those two headings is what you have done with Jesus, period. There is no other reality. There is no, I'm in the middle trying to find my way. I'm a seeker. I'm a spiritualist. It is what you have done with Jesus. Well, in this parable, in Matthew chapter 7, those two categories are put under these two labels, the wise or the foolish. And I want you to see this in verse 24 and then in verse 26 so you can mark it in your Bible. Verse 24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man. There's the first person. And then verse 26, everyone who hears these words and does not act on them will be like a foolish man. So here's what I want to do this morning is I want to consider the wise man and the foolish man individually, but first I want you to see their similarities as we begin this morning. Jesus does not mention any major differences in this approach to building houses until he gets to the very end of this kind of parable when he talks about the results of how they built their house. But their similarities are in that they both wanted to build a home. Now, there's just common sense in reading this. If they built homes, they had to have a desire to build homes. And then they did build a home. And those homes, from the outward appearance, all seemed to look alike. In Jesus' day, they would have had a roof that you could dig through or walls that you could dig through. But you would have roofs. You would have walls. You would have doors. Some of them would have an awning where you could sit. And so from the outward appearance of things, these homes looked similar. Both of these people probably had a desire to be protected from the elements, right? We're building homes because we want to keep our families safe and we want to keep our families inside against the elements. And so Jesus doesn't mention any major differences in those areas. From all outward appearance, it looks like they're the same. But Jesus does mention one major difference that we're going to get to here in just a moment. When I was 24, I was working with a realtor in Edmond. And this is a long time ago. And I was working with a realtor in Edmond to find my first official big person home. Michelle still calls this big church, don't you? She calls this big church. I was looking at my first big person home. And I remember I went over there and the realtor said, for the money, you're not going to find a better constructed home in this area. And as a matter of fact, if you know how Edmond is now, you know how much it's blown up in the last 25 years. And this was new construction. And so she said, you need to look through here, see everything. And I was telling her, giving her all my financial information. She had me approved for the loan. And I was on the verge of signing the contract. And I said, I need to make one phone call. And so I called my father. And I said, I need you to come to this home and walk through it with me and see what you think. I mean, I'm literally within hours of signing the paperwork. Now, why did I call my father? Well, his father was a builder. He was a builder who built homes. He built a lot of homes. And then my father followed in his footsteps to a degree. He was a commercial construction contractor. As a matter of fact, Ed, you and I have had these conversations. Y'all worked together at Baptist Hospital and didn't even know it. He worked in commercial construction. And so he had an eye for detail that I didn't have. And so I walked my dad in the home. I said, man, you've got to see this home. You're just going to be blown away. And the first thing that my dad went over and did is he looked at the cabinets and he said, these are pre-manufactured cabinets. He said, these are not custom designed cabinets. And he worked with my uncle who had a cabinet shop. And he said, these are poorly made. And then he went over to the trim and to the door frames. And he said, do you see those little dents in those doors where they ran the nail gun in? And you can still see the head of the nail there. And he said, you see the little dent? He said, that's just complete and utter carelessness. And then the unpardonable sin. He went over to the doors and he started to swing the doors like this. And he said, every one of these are hollow core doors. Now, that was an unpardonable sin for my father for this reason. He was a custom door man. As a matter of fact, his first company was called Davis Door Company. Then he went on to be State Door Supply. And he said, this is not sturdy construction. And so here's the reality that he gave me the ability to see the problem. because from the outward appearance, everything looked right. And Jesus is telling us, from all outward appearances, these houses look the same, but there's one fundamental difference that Jesus is going to show us in this parable. And it is when we move in closely that we see the flaw. And it is the most important thing when you build a house. You see it there. It's a parable. It's right in front of you. It's all about the foundation. That's the major difference in those two homes. So here's what I want us to do. Is I want us to look at the wise man and the construction of his home first. Notice he says here, there is a wise man. That word means prudent. It's someone who looks into the future. Someone who thinks about the future. There are people, and I know you know them and you may be one of them, that you don't think about the future at all. When I was a young man, you would have called me a foolish man because I wasn't thinking about grades at the end of the semester or what I was going to do for a career. What I thought about was what was right in front of me. This builder doesn't think that way. He's prudent. He's wise. He looks into the future. He is aware that in that area of Palestine, there's floods that come. There's rains that come. There's winds that come. The weather's not always nice there. And he knows this. And he knows that the most important thing is to build his house on a firm foundation. And he takes time at getting this right. I want you to turn over to Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, because this fleshes this out for us just a little bit. And please keep your finger right there on Matthew chapter 7. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus gives us a little bit more detail about this wise builder. We'll read 46, 47, and 48. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like." This is the same parable, just told in a slightly different way. It says, he's like a man building a house. And notice what it says here. He dug down deep. In other words, he's careful to work on the most important thing first. He digs down deep and laid a foundation on the rock. That's the wise man. He goes to the bedrock. And I want you to see that I told you to hold Matthew chapter 7 there. Turn back over there to Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to see the results of the foundation. Look at verse 25 of Matthew chapter 7. The rain fell and the floods came. So this means there's a lot of rain that brings flooding. The winds blew and slammed against the house, that house, and yet it did not fall. And why did it not fall? Not because of the external construction. It did not fall because of the foundation that it was built on. That's the wise man in Jesus' parable. Now, I want you to look at the foolish man. Verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man. Quite literally, this word means to be unreflecting. You don't have an eye on the future. You're not thinking about things. You want to be all in the here and now. You want to do things quickly. And in order to save time, here's what he does. Same area, right? Every historian says there's these areas in Palestine where you're going to build homes. Same area. It's got sand and underneath there's rock. The other person takes the time to dig down the foundation. But this person, according to Luke chapter 6, plops the home down right on top of the sand. So, what else do we have similar here? We have the homes that look externally the same, and we have the exact same storm. Would you look with me at verse 27? The same storm comes. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Why? the two different outcomes because of the foundation upon which they were built. Outwardly, they look the same, but the foundation tells us everything. Now, here's what I want to do this morning as we shift gears for just a moment. Every parable, to some level, is pointing us to a spiritual reality. And this parable is no different. He's talking about building homes. He's talking about the foundation of the home. But he's also telling us about a spiritual reality. And I want you to hear this. For Jesus, there are wise and foolish in the spiritual realm, just as there are in the physical realm. There are wise and foolish in the spiritual realm, just as there are in the spiritual realm. And who are the wise people in the spiritual realm? Verse 24 tells us, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. That's the wise person. Outwardly, there are similarities between the wise and the foolish, spiritually speaking. And what are the similarities? The foolish man also, according to verse 26, hears the words of Jesus. And I'm going to take this and pull it into a 21st century context for you. These people are probably in the same church. They share many of the same goals. They may be in a prayer group or a small group together, hearing the same preaching that gives them the word every week. But upon closer inspection, there is one major difference. And do you see what it is? The wise man hears and acts. Quite literally, he is a doer of the word. That's the difference between the wise and the foolish, because the foolish man in verse 26 hears and does not act. I know you know this story, but in James chapter 1, James says there are people who are self-deceived. There are people that James in some translations calls delusional. And you say, who is the self-deceived and delusional person that James is speaking of there? James says, people who hear the word all the time and never act on it, do you know what he says about them? They're self-deceived. They're delusional. Is it any different than what Jesus is saying here? Jesus says there's a wise man who hears the word and acts, and the foolish man who hears the words and does not act. So upon closer inspection, they have a lot in common, but that's the difference. They don't act on the word of God. Now, I could stop right here and say you're dismissed, go home, we've dealt with the parable, we've dealt with the spiritual reality, but I think we have to deal with one phrase. What do we need to hear and obey? That's the key to understanding this. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to hear something this morning. If by any chance you read the Sermon on the Mount and you come away thinking this, oh, I need to do better and try harder. I need to be a more moral person and a more ethical person, then you have completely missed the point of the Sermon on the Mount. Because it is that kind of thinking that is a house built on sand. And in the storms of life, that kind of thinking will never hold you upright. We see this all the time in the church. People who look outwardly the same, and then one person faces trials and the other faces trials, and there's completely different outcomes. One of them faces adversity and turns to God, secures their life to Him, and the other turns away from God and from the church, and they prove what C.S. Lewis said, their faith was a house of cards. That's the wise man and the foolish man. So the first thing that every person must hear and obey, this is what we have to answer, is that Jesus is the rock and that our life must be built on Him. That is the gospel. If not, you're going to get swept away, not only in the trials of this life, but in the judgment to come. Now, I'm going to prove this to you. I never say anything without proving it to you. So I'm going to have you turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. We're going to make our way through about three or four passages for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 28. If you can find the book of Psalms, turn to your right, a few books, you're going to find Isaiah chapter 28. And I want you to put your finger on verse 16. You have the words on the screen if you don't have your Bible. If you're there, say, I'm there. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. What are we talking about here? Every prophecy in the Old Testament in some way is pointing us to Jesus Christ, the foundation of the church. That we are all individually and collectively building our lives on. He is the bedrock of the church. Now, I want you to turn over to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're actually going to start back in verse 19. And we're going to read all the way through verse 22. I'm going to give you time. I still hear pages turning. So, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Now notice what he says this is built on. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, those are people speaking the word of God, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. The apostles and prophets are not the foundation of the church in the sense that we're building our life on them. We're building our life on their message. And what is their message? One reality from Genesis to Revelation. Look for just one second. The reality is Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone of all of Scripture. And notice what he says in verse 21. In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a whole temple in the Lord. In whom you are also built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. What are each of us right now, if we're in Christ, anchored to right now? Christ himself, he is the chief cornerstone. One last place, I want you to turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at the contrast between the wise and the foolish. Verse 6 and 7. For this is contained in Scripture. One thing that I love about the Bible is, and I used to hear this all the time, I'm a red letter Christian, I don't need the Old Testament, and I say this to them, do you understand that Jesus, about three quarters or better of the time, is quoting the Old Testament? Peter is quoting the Old Testament here. And what is he quoting? What we just read. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That's the wise and the foolish. Have we built our lives on Jesus Christ, the great cornerstone? Have you heard the message and believed it? Or have you heard the message and rejected it? Every single week. By the way, if you're a guest with us here, I can assure you what we're going to be talking about for the next year. Can I tell you what it is? If you come back next week, we'll be talking about Jesus. It's like, can Pastor Greg get on to something else more relevant? The only relevant message is what? Jesus. We're going to be talking about it until they pull me out of here. I said something stupid last week, like when you're at my funeral and I'm talking to you at my funeral. I completely lost it. But here's the reality. Until I draw my last breath, we're going to be talking about Jesus in this church. He is the chief cornerstone. You hear it week in and week out. You hear me talk about Jesus, the only way to God the Father, the second person of the Godhead who redeems us and brings us back into a relationship. Have you heard that message and believed it? Have you thrown your life and your trust into that message? Or have you rejected it? If you have not, this is the time to act. Not tomorrow, not next week. This is the time to act. Why? Because Jesus has warned us. And here's another sense of obeying. Are we going to believe that the storms are coming? I mean, is Jesus just talking foolishly here when he says that storms are coming, not only in this life, but in the life to come? A storm that will not allow the house to stand unless it's built on the rock. So are you going to hear the message today and be like the foolish man and reject it? Or are you going to be like the wise man and believe it and obey it? Now, two more verses that I want to show you. Go to Mark chapter 8. I know there's been a lot of turning today, but it's well worth it. Matthew, Mark, chapter 8. One verse, but so important. And then I'm going to go on about a 5-minute tirade. And then you can go eat lunch, okay? Look at verse 38, and I want you to highlight it in your Bible. Because there is something very important in this verse regarding what we have just said. Whoever is ashamed of me and my, say it together, words. In this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is what I want you to hear. Don't plug your ears up. Listen to what I'm saying. Lots of people claim to be anchored to Jesus and then turn around and mock his word. That is a contradiction that cannot exist in the Christian faith. You cannot anchor your life to Jesus as the chief cornerstone and turn around and then mock his word and say they don't mean anything. Let me explain. You know that you can't preach that anymore. The world will laugh at that message. Oh yes, I trust Jesus. I'm just not going to preach what the Bible says. That's not trusting and obeying. That's not hearing and obeying. That's mocking the words of Jesus. You're telling me that I can't continue to live the life that I love? The life that makes me happy? I mean, I have to reject my former way of life? That's what Jesus calls holiness in the Sermon on the Mount? Surely not. We're rejecting the Word of God. Rejecting the Word of Christ. What do you mean I have to love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me? Never will that happen in my life. You mean there's no such thing is the day of judgment? I can't believe that. It's all about your best life now. Brothers and sisters, that's the foolish man. Because Jesus says, me and my words are a package deal. You cannot come to Jesus, anchor your life to him, and reject the Bible. I always laugh at people that do that. It's like, I don't believe the Old Testament. I don't believe those things really happen. But I trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Jesus says, it's me and my words. That's what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. If you hear me and you obey, you're like the wise man. Jesus and his words are a package deal. Last verse, and I'm just going to put it up here on the screen. Luke chapter 6. Verse 46. Mark it in the margin of your Bible in the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? See it there. It's real fast. Okay. I want you to hear this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Jesus said in John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Have you believed that and obeyed it? Have you trusted that He's the chief cornerstone? Have you trusted that there's storms coming and that Jesus is telling you the truth? You call Him Lord, you obey what He says to do. Would you stand with me this morning? I went through a season in my life where I mocked evangelists for one reason. I used to mock the stories where they would say, I knew a kid who left here and he died in a car wreck and he never professed Christ. But I'm going to tell you this, the older that I get, I have a more of a sense of urgency than ever before to tell you that this life is a vapor. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This life will not last forever. There will be a day of judgment. And it's going to be like a storm that if you're not built on the foundation, will pulverize everything in its path. And I'm not ashamed to tell you, turn to Jesus today. Anchor your life to Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Let's pray.